It early at 5:30 with the happy sounds of some of these fabulous artists. And we get ready for a great show, 7 till 9 with the main acts. We got some great lineups for you right here. Here's just a few of the artists. Change, change, change. Yeah, you and your friends, along with 3,000 of your closest friends, will be here every Thursday night right here on Ramcat Alley in Townville Street. It's Jazz on the Alley, voted best event of the year. Come on out, bring your chairs just in case you need them, and have fun. And every Thursday, we'll see you for a little jazz.
Are you ready for the best bang this July 4th? Experience all the excitement with Carolina Fireworks. Best prices and selection in the upstate. Family owned and operated since 1948 with 5 convenient locations to fill your needs. All locations listed at carolinafireworks.net. Teachers, military, fire, and police get a discount with proper ID on top of the already great prices. Visit Carolina Fireworks at any of our 5 upstate locations. Carolina Fireworks, we'll take your breath away.
Searching for your dream home? Great Southern Homes is here to make it happen. Whether it's your first house or your forever home, we offer an amazing selection of plans and communities to fit every lifestyle. With endless personalization options and upgrades, you can create a space that's designed to fit your unique taste. From Clemson to Columbia and beyond, we'll help you find the perfect place, whether it's right around the corner or across the state. Discover greatness reimagined and check out our Clemson communities at greatsouthernhomes.com.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
Looking for a tractor that works as hard as you do? Come to Mahindra of Anderson, your local source for the toughest, most reliable tractors on the market. Whether you're working the farm, maintaining your property, or need heavy-duty power, Mahindra has the perfect tractor, UTV, implement, or trailer for the job. Buy it new, shop pre-owned, schedule your service appointment, or order parts with the best customer service right here in the upstate of South Carolina. Visit Mahindra of Anderson at 507 Pierman Dairy Road or online at mahindraofanderson.com.
Rely on the pros at EnviroMulch for any outdoor project. Trust EnviroMulch as they have the best products to protect your landscape and plants and help them retain moisture, enhancing your home and saving money. Order online at EnviroMulch.com.
From kickoff to the final whistle, your front row seat to college football lives here on 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
We welcome you back in. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hyde continues right here on The Roar. It's the final segment of hour number one of the program. 654 Roar if you want to get in on NBA draft stuff after draft day. We're going to be talking Major League Baseball, some NFL, and some college football throughout the course of the program. And then Grayson Mann will be joining us in the final hour. About to kickstart draft grades, but I do want to get to this text first from 040. I think the Hawks made a great trade moving back 10 and acquiring an unprotected lottery pick next year and are coming away with a decent piece in Noel. The Atlanta Hawks won the NBA draft last night. Masterclass from their new management in the front office. That pick next year is going to be in the top 10. Let me just tell you right now, I was privy to some information pre-draft from the Atlanta Hawks camp. They were going to take Noel at 13. Just telling you right now, they were going to take Asa Noel at 13. There was communication with Asa Noel throughout the pre-draft process. They brought him in for multiple workouts. He grew up a Hawks fan and is a hometown kid. That was his preferred destination. But when the Hawks got that offer, they clearly couldn't turn it down. So Atlanta traded pick 22, got a negative contract off the books in Terrence Mann, got Porzingis on an expiring at a position of need, then turned around and traded 13 just to move 10 picks back to get a lottery pick for next year unprotected, which is the best of New Orleans and Milwaukee, and on top of that, got the player they wanted at 13 at 23. I mean,
so that's
a masterclass.
They came out with one player, correct?
They came out with one player, yeah.
Because it's so puzzling sometimes when you try to see who did the team select, because they technically had two draft selections that neither of which are going to play for the Atlanta Hawks.
Which is, we have to change this, by the way. I was going to bring this up today before we get to draft grades. We have to change the hat thing. We have to change it. I understand that, oh, well, the trade isn't finalized and it has to be approved. When is the last time one of these draft trades was declined by the league or not approved by the league? We have these weird moments in NBA history where you've got guys wearing the wrong hat, or you're on the television and you don't know what team, like, pick your team as. Like, I've got friends last night who are casual NBA fans, but they root from the Hawks because we're all from Metro Atlanta, and they're sitting there like, oh, like, did we just take Drake Powell at 22 because he's putting on a Hawks hat and it says the Hawks on the screen? And then me and Sam are responding like, no, you actually traded 13 for 23, so even though it says that the Pelicans are on the clock right here, it's actually you, and you don't have 22 anymore, you have 23, and it's just this whole cycle. Fix the hat crap. That's the one thing I have to ask. It's just, if there's going to be a trade made, can we get the guy the right hat so we can have a good picture on his... This is the biggest moment of his life, and we can't get him the right hat?
Come on. It was the biggest moment for everybody's life last night, except for Ace Bailey. 29 athletes had the biggest moment of their life last night, and what it seems like half of them had to wear the wrong hat up there for their selection.
And it was a casual, nonchalant Wednesday afternoon and evening for Ace Bailey. But, John, as we break down the draft grades and get into the weeds with that, we can start with the number one pick of Cooper Flagg to Dallas. Nico Harrison's a lucky, lucky man. Let's just put it like that. And A+. I watch him play. I hate to not have any more analysis here. But
no, you're right. Watch him play.
Watch him play. Like, Cooper Flagg's a dog on both ends of the floor. He's been billed as a generational talent. I don't like throwing that word around. I think it's applicable here. He's going to impact the game immediately at the NBA level to the tune of 15 plus points and be an elite defender. He's 6'10". He can handle the ball. He can shoot. He can pass. He can be your hub. He can play off the ball. He's a phenomenal player, and this is a home run and luck box of the century for the Mavericks.
Absolutely. The only thing that I have negative to say about Cooper Flagg is he made a comment last night when being interviewed about who his favorite player was growing up.
Oh, who'd he say?
See, this might even make you feel old. Jason Tatum.
What? Growing up?
Yeah, because he's 18.
I guess that's fair.
His favorite player growing up is Jason Tatum.
That's, that did make me feel old.
I feel very old.
You couldn't even give me KD or Curry or LeBron? Like, really? That's...
Tatum.
Jason Tatum.
Who I believe is not even 30 yet.
Yeah, that's absolutely crazy. But on the flag part, you know, I don't have much analysis to give you guys. This is the best prospect that the NBA has seen since Wembanyama. This is a top five prospect the NBA has seen in the last decade. So this is as close as you can get to a shoe-in of being a good NBA player as a floor, and I think Dallas, again, was extremely fortunate, but had a very easy selection at number one. A+ for me for Cooper Flagg. As far as San Antonio goes at number two with Dylan Harper, I'm going to give them an A-. The issue for me here with San Antonio taking the point guard out of Rutgers is fit. Now, you took the best player available, and you took the clear-cut number two prospect in this class, which it's hard to complain about, which is why I'm giving them an A-. My issue now with San Antonio from a team and roster construction standpoint is what's going to give and who is going to give, because you have three players on your team now with Dylan Harper, De'Aaron Fox, and Stephon Castle that all play point guard, that all have the ball in their hands or need the ball in their hands to maximize their efficiency and effectiveness, and all of which can't shoot threes. So it's the 2025 NBA. You can get away with having non-shooters. You can win like that. But what is the plan here for San Antonio long-term with this stash pile of guards? Because, like, a lot of people were already kind of off-put by the fact they traded for Fox when they had Castle. It was like, oh, you already have your point guard. Why are you trading for another one? And now you draft another point guard.
If I am the general manager of the San Antonio Spurs, I'm calling the Phoenix Suns and be like, you got a whole lot of shooters and no point guards. I've got a whole lot of point guards and no shooters. You want to meet in the middle?
Yeah, I don't hate that. Maybe you try and even throw a mother load offer at him for Booker. Booker and Wembanyama, that team is winning some games. I can guarantee
absolutely.
That.
I think that you like you said, you drafted the best player available.
Yeah.
And I think you let it kind of play itself out. Who's going, you know, your rotation standpoint, how the minutes are going to break themselves down. And I think you gave yourself, if whoever's the odd man out of these three, somebody you can dangle over the course of this season. Once we get back going later in the fall, in the regular season, I think you would keep all three for the summer, you know, to go through training camp and everything. But as the season unfolds and you need to address some other needs, you have a luxury.
Yeah.
And a lot of depth at that point guard spot that other teams would be very desperate to, you know, to have one of those three.
All three of which are very valuable. Fox is an all-star. Castle is the rookie of the year. Harper is the number two pick. And Build is the best point guard the draft has seen in the last few years. You can't go wrong either way with any of those three players. I'm just, now the next question is fit. How are we stacking minutes? Is one of these guys getting traded? We'll unpack all that as it unfolds. But San Antonio's got a good problem to have is the way that I view it. I think they made the right pick. I would go A-. Before we get to the rest of the draft and continue to roll through these grades, let's get Gervonta in here real quick on the phone lines. Always a pleasure, Gervonta. How we doing?
Good morning. Thank you all for letting me on this morning. Hope all is well with you all. Go Tigers. I just want to make this comment. The verdict is still out on the Dallas Mavericks. Even though they took Cooper Flagg, even though that's a great pick, you got to ask yourself, is that enough to get them where they need to be for the future long haul? I don't know how much time the guy that traded away got to the Lakers, how much time he has, because if they don't, I don't think if they don't make the finals this year or next year, I believe it's a bust. For him, not Cooper Flagg, but for the GM. So I'll take your comments off there. Go Tigers and God bless.
Appreciate you getting in, Gervonta. And I listen, for what it's worth, I don't necessarily disagree, but now you're in a position where it's weird for Dallas because your timeline has been altered because Kyrie blew his knee out. So Kyrie's going to miss the first half of the year with a torn ACL recovery. Then, on top of that, you have Klay Thompson, who in the last three or four seasons has suffered ACL and Achilles, two back-to-back season-ending injuries that has really sapped him of all athleticism. You pair that with Anthony Davis, who is generally speaking the most injury-prone player in the NBA, and you can see how this kind of spells disaster. If the Mavericks stay healthy, don't get it twisted. Kyrie, Klay, Flagg, P.J. Washington, and A.D., or maybe you throw Gafford in there and play a big lineup. That sounds sweet. That sounds awesome on paper. But, like, this isn't 2K, and people just don't stay healthy randomly for the whole year, and you also still have to find a way to tread water in the Western Conference for the first portion of the season without Kyrie Irving.
I agree with Gervonta, and I think that The timeline for Nico Harrison, the general manager in Dallas, is a whole lot shorter than Cooper Flagg's. I agree with Gervonta. Now, maybe not a finals appearance because of just how much you have to navigate to get there, but I think you need to show strong postseason success, at minimum winning one series and showing fight in the second round. And then maybe Dallas will have more confidence in him to continue building this team. But I agree with John. I think he's got 2 years to turn this thing around. You were just gifted by the league the number one overall pick after you traded away Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
I think he has 2 years to figure this out or there will be a new general manager in Dallas. And should be.
Yeah, there definitely should be. You could argue there already should be as their whole stadium probably is chanting for there to be after that trade this year. 654 Roar, if you want to check in on NBA draft. We're going to shift gears at some point in the upcoming hour. But right now we're giving draft grades for at least the lottery. The number three pick in the draft was VJ Edgecombe going to the Philadelphia 76ers from Baylor. A guard that's really athletic with a bunch of upside. You know, I like this pick a lot specifically for Philly because of what they need defensively in their backcourt. Philly is weird headed into this upcoming. If you want to talk about not being reliable and having a bunch of injury-prone players, you've arrived at the right destination in the Eastern Conference, and this can really just be known as Dallas East going forward. You have the injury-prone big man. Check. You have an injury-prone wing player. Check. You have an injury-prone guard. Check. It's the big three. So Dallas and Philly are sharing a lot of common ground when it comes to having injury-prone players that they can't trust. Now, with that being said, when Philadelphia is healthy, they have the chance to be a problem. Embiid won MVP 2 years ago. We can't discount that. He's a top five player in the league at minimum when he's healthy, regardless of what our opinions are on him as a, you know, troll off the court, if you will. Tyrese Maxey, a guy that I would say the league is probably much higher on consensus-wise than I am, but he's still a good player nonetheless. Playoff P, as he's been referred to, Paul George, he's still in Philadelphia kicking around. You got Jared McCain, who, again, not a big fan of the off-the-court stuff, really, really good player. Might have won Rookie of the Year last year if he would have stayed healthy. I don't think people realize how good that guy is. So, really good player. Quentin Grimes came into his own. Now you have Edgecombe to kind of mask some of the defensive deficiencies in your backcourt and be this super athlete that can get to the rim and facilitate and defend. The jump shot is a work in progress, but I think that Philly did the best that they could do here given their draft slot. I think they drafted a guy that fits a position of need that's going to work really hard and has a ton of upside. And more importantly, John, if you watched that interview last night with VJ Edgecombe and his family, whether it's fair or not, that gives me confidence that that guy's going to find a way to make something work with the adversity he's already been able to overcome throughout the course of his life and his career. So I like the pick. I would give it a B-plus for Philadelphia at number three, taking VJ Edgecombe. Again, I think there's a pretty large drop-off in talent after the top two, and really specifically after Flag. Pretty top-heavy class with a bunch of good, not great laden throughout it. But that's about as good as you can do at number three in Edgecombe for Philly.
Yeah, no, I very much like the pick. I like the player. Love the story. I just think that Philadelphia needs to shed some of the elder statesmen in the room.
Agreed.
I don't think Joel Embiid ever plays meaningful basketball again.
It's starting to become alarming with the health stuff.
Like, at that size, that many lower body injuries. I mean, the way he was campaigning that you should be in the MVP consideration if you miss half the season.
Yeah.
You know, I don't take him very seriously at this stage of his career anymore. I think Tyrese Maxey is probably like the guy to lead that team right now, but I think that they are at a bit of a crossroads, and I like VJ Edgecombe for the long-term play, but I just don't know how much success this team is going to have in 25-26.
Yeah, agreed with that. I like Edgecombe. I like him long-term. I think he might end up being a star caliber player. I can't buy into this current rendition of the 76ers with their health issues and then how just generally unreliable guys like Paul George have been on big stages throughout the course of their career. Like, could you convince me if they stay healthy they could get to 50 wins and be a top whatever seed? Sure, but I'm not backing them to do anything in the playoffs. No, absolutely not. And then I don't believe that they're going to stay healthy.
I don't either. Or stay intact.
Right.
I think there's enough ego in that locker room that if when healthy, that could cause the whole thing to fall apart if these guys have to play basketball together.
Yeah, that's true. Texter gets in and says, do y'all think the lottery is rigged at all? I don't know how they draw, but to be honest, I see people say it could be. I'm not like a tinfoil hat guy when it comes to that, but what I'll say is this. This is the first year in my life I've ever even given that a consideration that it could be, just to be honest. Like this, with the whole L.A., Dallas trade and then number one pick out of nowhere thing, I understand why some of the conspiracy theorists are out. I don't think it is rigged. I don't. But especially in the silver era, now back with the whole Ewing thing and the frozen card, yeah, that was definitely rigged. That was 100% rigged by David Stern. But in the current era, there are too many witnesses in this room that are media members that are established, and there are too many witnesses in this room that are like ownership of the NBA. If there is some massive conspiracy to collude, I'll take my L and I'll be wrong here. I think there would be too many moving pieces to try and pull something like that off, and it's also pretty conspiracy theory.
It certainly is. It's just tough, though, in years when there's not like a top-flight pick, how these less-than-franchises seem to stumble into the number one overall pick, but when there's a player of high quality there, that always magically lands at the right place with the right storyline and the right, you know, situation.
It does seem suspect.
There's a lot of convenience that happens in the NBA draft lottery. I don't know if I full-blown believe it to be rigged, but there's a lot of convenience that occurs.
It definitely helps Adam Silver out and his wallet out for sure at times. We could put it like that. All right, we're headed up to the upcoming hour of the program, second hour of the program, 654 Roar if you want to check in. We're going to give our draft grades for the rest of the lottery, and then we're going to shift gears throughout the course of the program. We're going to talk some college football. You can talk some NFL, Major League Baseball, and more. John, on the other side of a break, we'll get to Con Knepel, who I see a lot of Hornets fans complaining about. I think the Hornets got it right for once. Like, this is the first time in really the last I would go as far as saying decade, where I'm leaving the draft feeling very confident about who Charlotte drafted. And that includes LaMelo and Brandon Miller, because Miller had some off-the-court concerns, if we're being candid. And the same can be said about LaMelo with coming over from Lithuania, and we didn't know how that was going to shake out. I think Knepel has a floor of a very good NBA player, and I'll tell you why I like the pick on the other side of a short break. Show goes on. Keep getting in with us at 654 Roar right here on The Roar.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cowboys.